Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big money on your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warning is explicit sexual content.
And I have a cutie little Spotify comment, and this one comes from Allison, and it says, I absolutely love this podcast. It's so funny. I love listening to you guys. It makes me laugh so hard. Keep it up. Love you, queens. Love you,
thank
queen.
You.
Love you, Allison. Thank you.
Heart, 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 heart.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Burn For Me by Lauren Blakely, and how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it 3 stars. It was cutesy. Did the job.
I gave it 3. It just wasn't my favorite. I don't like rating books low because I'm always like, 5 star. So it feels weird. I just have issues with it.
I mean, 3 is still good.
Yeah.
I also gave it a 3. It was all right. It was okay. I think that this type of book just isn't for me. It was very Hallmarky.
Yeah, you guys are freaks.
Yeah. Too vanilla for me.
There is just one main thing that I have wrong with this book, and it is this man's occupation. And I guess we'll get there.
Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah.
We'll find out. Smith Grayson is beautiful, and Jamie is currently checking him out hard. She works at a bar called The Panting Dog with her friend Caitlin. She's been seeing Smith around a lot since he started coming to the bar more frequently, and they even bowl together once a week. But she just knows she's not his type. She's hella type A, and he just seems to go with the flow. Caitlin is trying to convince Jamie to just go for it with Smith, but she feels like he'll just reject her.
Yeah, I mean, he could.
Once you get into the meat of this book, you're like, girl, just, oh my God.
Just do it.
So she denies even being interested because she doesn't want to chance the rejection. She knows firemen are nothing but trouble. Just then, the man himself walks up to her and asks if she's having fun tonight. She says she's having a great night, trying to be as friendly as possible.
That's all they were. Friends. They'd be no good for each other as more. Opposites in every way. She was a romantic. He was a playboy. She was wine. He was beer. She was poetry. He was... wait. Did he even read?
She just makes him sound so stupid.
He's like a big old block.
Does he even know how to read?
Big dumb fireman.
Yeah, don't you have to be like pretty smart to be a fireman?
Yeah, yeah. I would think so.
A lot of firemen are paramedics too.
Yeah, I think you have to have the duel.
Yeah.
You have to know about like the physics of fire and stuff. Whatever. He starts talking about the upcoming spring festival and the smell of cotton candy in the air. He says he loves the taste of sweet things, some more than others, mostly the sweet things that are sinfully delicious. And now she's hoping she might be one of those sweet things.
Yeah, he's talking about your pussy.
Yeah, and she's like, I couldn't handle the rejection. I can't tell him that I like him. And he's obviously flirting with her. And she's like, I couldn't possibly. There's no way.
Open your eyes.
And your legs. Yeah.
He tells her he'll be doing the dunk tank at the festival, and she says she'll be sure to make sure he goes down to the splash. And he's like, all you have to do is hit hard and I'll go down. Winky, winky. He is obviously flirting with her.
Yeah.
And she's like, there's no way he's into me.
Also, if a man was talking to me like this, I'd be like, come on.
She loves it.
Let's go fuck.
He asks her to dance, and she says no. She couldn't possibly dance right here in front of everyone in town. So he's like, dance in the back of the bar with me, and says that she's the prettiest girl in town. But she's like, he doesn't like me. He's not interested.
What the fuck?
She decides maybe one dance will get him out of her system. They're dancing and flirting, and he's playing with her hair, telling her that he'd love to touch more of her. And then she accuses him of having a thing for Lisa, the woman who shoots the fireman calendar, and he denies it. And he's also like the hottest guy in the annual town fireman calendar.
He must be like maybe on the month of July, which just happens to be my birth month.
Sexy.
I'm sorry, but he's like, oh, yeah, you're beautiful. I want to touch more of you. And she's like, you fucked Lisa.
Yeah. What are you talking about? You don't like me?
Go find Lisa.
He says that Lisa wants him, but the feeling isn't mutual. He says there's nothing going on with Lisa because he wants there to be something going on with her, as in Jamie. But he doesn't like her. She's like, no, he doesn't like me. He asks her what would happen if he kissed her right now, and she says, why don't you find out? They start making out, and she pushes him against the wall. He bites her shoulder, which makes her moan to his surprise. They're grinding against each other, and she's rubbing her leg on his boner, and he says that he wants to take her, and Jamie asks how he'd do that.
Hard. Fast and up against the wall. She'd never done it up against the wall. Sex was meant for bedrooms by candlelight with soft, sexy music playing. But her body seemed to think otherwise. Hard and fast. All right.
With no candles?
Where's the sexy music?
Now she's like, okay, one fuck to get him out of my system, and then tomorrow we'll go back to just being friends. Which, why? You like him. He likes you. And she's like,
yeah, keep fucking him.
I don't understand her logic in this book at all, but whatever. She drags him to the storage room, and he tells her if she keeps this going, he will be fucking her right now. He asks if she's wet, and she tells him to come find out.
You better be, he said roughly, grabbing her wrists and pinning them over her head as he bagged her up against the shelves. The wood edge pressed into her spine, and it should have hurt, but instead, it was yet another sensation that reminded her of how hot he was for her, and vice versa. Because if I take off your panties and you're not fucking soaked through, I'm gonna have to hold you down hard. What does that even mean?
Yeah. It means what it means. He tells her he wants to feel how slick she is, and he wants her panties to be so soaked she can't put them back on afterward.
I want them to be sticking to your thighs. It's hard to pull them up.
Yeah.
Like a bathing suit when you're trying to take it off.
Oh, or like putting jeans on with wet legs.
Jamie's panties alone, red lace with a white flower in the middle, were a turn on. But the feel of them, they were so hot and wet that Smith had no choice but to rip them off. She spread her legs wide and he felt her against his fingers and cursed. Fuck, you're hot, woman. You made me this way, she said, her head falling back as she gave in, rolling her hips against his hand.
He commands her to fuck his hand and tells her how good she smells when she's turned on. Which I was like, what do you mean?
What are you, an animal?
The pheromones.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. She goes to touch his dick, but he says she can't until she comes. She comes, whips his dick out, and he tells her it's time for fucking. He slams her against the wall, puts a condom on, and slides on in.
I'm sorry, when you said slams her against the wall, I'm just picturing him being like, wah!
She likes it.
Yeah. Yeah. I want you to feel all of me, he said, groaning into her ear. I want you to feel everything as I fuck you deep, Jamie. The world was fading out with his words. Wild tension gripped every corner of her body, like she was held taut with lust. She closed her eyes, let her head fall back with each agonizing stroke, climbing closer to another release. I do. I do feel everything, she whispered in broken breaths. I do. I do feel everything.
He confesses he is super into her and has been for so long. They come together and immediately Jamie is like, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. Which, why? You like him.
Just fuck him.
He asks her to come to his place tonight, but she makes up some bullshit excuse and says she can't. The next day, she's dreading going to work because she knows that Smith is working construction at the bar. So that's what Jenna was talking about. He's like a fireman slash construction worker.
Oh, slay.
Which are both full-time jobs.
Unless you're a seasonal BLM firefighter.
Oh.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything fireman-related the entire book.
Yeah, the whole book, he just is a construction worker.
Maybe it's just, like, for show. Maybe, like, he just says, I'm a fireman, but he's not.
He's a liar.
Just for the calendar.
Yeah, just for the calendar.
He just cosplays as a fireman. Yeah.
On her way to work, she runs into Kara, the town's dog trainer, who is also Smith's ex.
Okay.
Kara asks if she's still looking for a German Shepherd, and Jamie says yes. So Kara says she'll keep an eye out, and then Jamie heads to start her shift. She almost immediately sees Smith, who looks hot as hell, doing some manual labor, because he's a construction worker right now. He knows she's having doubts about their quickie last night, so he asks her out on a real date. He apologizes for being rough while they made love last night.
He's like, she likes poetry, so we had really hot, rough sex, but I'm gonna say we made love to get this girl to like me.
They're interrupted by the bar owner, Becker, who tells Jamie her sister is here to see her. The same sister who is currently going through an awful divorce with a firefighter.
Oh, another one.
Mm-hmm. And that's why she's like, I can't get involved with a firefighter because my sister's getting divorced from one.
That's stupid.
Yeah, I think this woman is actually stupid.
Yeah, she's dense. Dense as hell.
Jamie talks to her sister and lets her vent. Diane goes to leave but tells Jamie not to make her same mistakes and they'll have a movie night later.
Don't date a fireman or you'll end up divorced.
They're all the same.
The next day, Jamie goes to the bookstore to get her niece something when she runs into Smith. He's there picking out some books for his volunteer organization, and he was also getting her a book of poems to apologize.
I'm sorry. You volunteer?
At the burn center.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't remember.
He was getting Mad Libs for the kids at the burn center.
But he volunteers, he does construction, he's a fireman.
How does he have time for fucking?
Yeah. What a stand-up human.
The apology book of poems is for coming on too strong when he should have done the right thing and took her on a proper date first. She pitches an idea to Smith because she's like, okay, that was hot. He's trying to woo me with cute things that I like. So she says, how about one no strings attached week of a complete fuck fest? What do you say?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, because after you fuck someone that you guys mutually like each other for an entire week straight, you're just going to be like, all right, cool, bye.
Yeah, there's no fucking way.
They're friends. They hang out. So it's not like they're just going to go their separate ways and not see each other.
Yeah, how could you fuck a week and then just go back to being friends and being like, hey.
It's working out in her brain.
Yeah, she wants to do this because she wants to stay friends. She doesn't want to ruin their friendship. So she's like, this is the solution.
Right. Girl.
He's really loving the fact that she likes to have sex with him, but he is very hurt that she doesn't want to actually date him. She tells him that she doesn't want to be another name on his list of women in their very small town because apparently he dates around. And so she's like, no, I'm okay.
What are people to do?
Yeah, have you ever lived in a small town? Everyone's pussy cousins there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He tells her that he wants more with her because he actually likes her, and she is shocked by this for some reason.
He's told her no less than 10 times
yes,
that he likes her.
She's dense.
He says fine to the 1 week fuck fest, but on one condition. At the end of the week, he gets to take her out on a proper date. In his head, he's like, after this week, she's going to want to be with me. I'm going to woo her. I'm going to fuck her. We're going to be dating.
Like, all this man wants is to take her out on a nice date, and she's like, we're gonna fuck!
Yeah!
He tells her that maybe by the end of the date, they'll be so hot and bothered that they need one more fuck before it's over.
Do you get wet from me when you're alone, Jamie? Yes, she whispered, her shoulders rising and falling. I can picture you, sprawled out and naked, your hand between your legs. Have you ever gotten off to me? Yes, she answered. I would love to see that. You on your bed, letting your legs fall open. I'd love to stand in your doorway, to find you in the dark. Your eyes are closed, your head thrown back, those pretty pink pussy lips wet and glistening to me.
Okay, but imagine he's like, do you ever touch yourself thinking about me? And she's like, yes. And he's like, you ever come thinking about me? She's like, no.
Not once. Never have.
Yeah, I just can't get there when I think about you.
The minute I think about you, dried up.
They both decide that their arrangement starts now. They pay for the books and they leave. This has all been in the bookstore.
Oh, there's just like a woman and a child trying to buy Dr. Seuss books right next to them.
Literally.
And he's like, you're pretty pink pussy lips.
There's like a creepy man on the other side being like, oh yeah.
He drives them down the street, parks his truck, and then they start getting frisky because apparently they can't wait to make it to one of their houses. She rips his jeans open, puts a condom on him, and then takes her panties off.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're going to ride me hard now. Got that? She nodded, her eyes wide with abandon. She looked like she could come within seconds, and it was a look she wore well. I'm going to ride you so hard, Smith, she said. They just like repeat what each other says to each, like, you're going to ride me? I'm going to ride you.
They're on the same page.
Yeah, they are. That's good.
They are. Yeah.
They have sex in the truck, and then a few days later, Smith can't help but want more than just this arrangement. At work, they get a call that Melody's cat is stuck in a tree again. And this is a common occurrence. I'm pretty sure Melody puts her fucking cat in the tree and calls them so she can watch the fireman take the cat down.
I mean, I get it.
Melody.
Once he helps her get her cat down, so he does do one fireman thing.
He gets a cat out of a tree.
All right.
Once the cat is out of the tree, Melody comes on to him, but he ignores her. And we do learn that she calls the station constantly for doing that. Yeah.
Naughty lady.
He heads home and he sees Jamie drive by because her parents live on the same street. And she glares at him because he's leaving Melody's house.
And she's just like mean mugging him. She's like, oh,
you motherfucker.
Oh. But he was saving a cat.
He was being a firefighter for once.
It's his one shift a month.
Yeah. He knows she has the wrong idea and tries to call her, but she ignores all of his calls. After her dinner with her parents and sister, Diane tells Jamie that she should date Smith. Just take it slow.
Why is her sister 100% in charge of her love life?
I know.
Why are you taking relationship advice from a divorcee?
Also, take it slow. Not everyone's going to get divorced like you, Diane.
Yeah, Diane.
She's cautious, but tells Diane that she'll think about dating him. When she heads back home, she calls him and apologizes for jumping to conclusions, but hopes that they're exclusive for their arrangement. He reassures her, and 10 minutes later, she arrives at his house. He lets her in, and they kiss, and she says that she wants to take care of him tonight. He had a rough shift.
All he did was climb a tree.
He had construction before that, Charlotte.
Oh, right. He's a man with two jobs. She brought her lips to his ear and whispered hotly, I want your cock in my mouth.
She drops to her knees and gives him the best blowy he has ever had. She then stands and tells him to get to sleep and she'll see him later, and then she leaves. I imagine him just standing there with his dick out once she's done.
Bye.
She's like, all right, cool. Thanks for the semen. See ya.
At work the next day, she finds an envelope addressed to her from Smith. It has a poem and he drew a paw print on it because she's a dog lover and she knows that she might be falling in love with him, but can't be more. It's just supposed to be a fling.
Oh my God.
So tonight is their last night together. So they've already spent their whole week kind of just fucking each other. They are supposed to go on their date. Smith does not want things to end with Jamie. He tells her he wants her this week and every week after. And he asks her out on another date. Instead of answering, she passionately kisses him and things get pretty hot for the public eye. Because again, they just decide to do things wherever they want. Like they have no fucking shame whatsoever.
Yeah, they're talking about pussy lips at the library.
They decide to take it back to Smith's house.
She pressed her lips against his in some kind of sweet devouring and trailed her hands down his shirt, yanking it loose from his jeans. She danced her fingertips across his stomach. "I'm gonna do my laundry on your abs," she mimed, rubbing fabric across his midsection.
He has washboard abs.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yes.
I get it.
He tells her to go ahead, but he wants to do something first, and it's something that they haven't done this week yet together. He asks if she'll ask for it because he loves to hear her beg.
In a hungry voice, she rasps out, "Will you go down on me, please?" A grin slowly spread across his face. "I am at your service." You're telling me he hasn't gone down to her pussy at least once this whole time?
What a wiener.
Yeah, what the fuck? That, like, should be the first thing he does, I feel like.
Yeah. He starts eating it, and this man is not worried about oxygen. Like, he is munching away.
His lips were made for this, and he went down on her as if it was air, as if it was breath, as if the taste of her was the very thing he craved for sustenance and survival.
Then why didn't you do it sooner?
Yeah.
Yeah, why did it take you this long?
Maybe this was like his final trick. Maybe he's like, I eat pussy so good that this is what's going to make her stay.
Then he should have been eating her pussy for a week straight.
He should have.
Yeah, that would have made her stay.
She came on his tongue and they had a cutesy, intimate moment and they ended up falling asleep in each other's arms. It's the next day and Jamie's sister Diane was able to help Smith with staffing issues. So this whole time he's been like a solo man on a construction job. And Jamie was like, "Awesome. I'm sure she'll tell me more about it at dinner tonight." And he's like, "Oh, why don't I tag along to your family's dinner?" And she's like, "Whoa, we're supposed to be friends." No.
Chill.
Oh my God. Jamie.
You fucked him all week. I feel like after you fuck somebody like 6 times, boom.
Time to meet the grandparents.
Meet the family.
You're bonded.
This really upsets him because he doesn't just want to be a secret between the two of them. She's like straight up friend zoning him, even though they both have amazing chemistry and tension.
And he just ate her pussy out.
Amazingly, might we add. And Pookie's feelings are very hurt because no matter how hard he tries, he won't be the kind of guy that she wants to bring home to her family.
Cry me a river.
Oh, brother.
As Jamie's going through her day, thinking about how she fucked things up with Smith, her best friend Megan calls her and tells her that she's moving back home because she broke things off with her boyfriend. Jamie catches her up on her life and admits that she made a huge mistake with Smith. Her bestie Megan tells her there's only one thing to do. She has to apologize in a way that means something major to him. So she gets in her car and gets to his house. When he answers his door, she pulls out a piece of paper. It's a Mad Lib.
Oh my God. He really likes Mad Libs.
Yeah, that's what he reads to the burn victims.
That's right.
So she does this cutesy little apology with the Mad Lib, and she was laying it all out for him, telling him that she wasn't embarrassed of him. She was just really scared of getting hurt. And she wants to try this with all the strings attached. Their first date with all strings attached is amazing. They go bowling, they have beers, and they're bestie vibing the whole time. The date ends in her bedroom, but rather than a trip to Pound Town, they make sweet, sweet love.
She moved her hips slowly up and down like a tease, making him groan, making him roll his eyes back in his head. "Do you like it when I take you slow like this?" she asked, rising up on him, then taking him all the way inside her and grinding her hips on him. "I like that you're a talker, that you give it right back to me."
What? She's a talker.
He's like, "I like that you chit-chat during sex."
Certified yapper.
Yeah.
He flips her around so she can wrap her legs around his waist, and he ups the tempo, taking her harder and faster.
"Tell me how much you want me to drive you wild right now." "Oh God, Smith, I want you so much," she said, those eyes dark as she became a wild woman in bed. "Take me so hard, I'll still feel you tomorrow."
Yeah. She screams his name as she comes, and that pushes him over the edge too. They end up fucking all night long, then again in the morning, even in the shower. As they make plans for the day, he turns to leave, and she admits that she's falling for him, but then his phone goes off and he kisses her on the forehead and tells her he's gotta go.
See you later.
Of course, Jamie's thinking the worst because she just was super vulnerable with him and then he didn't say anything back. So she's like, he's with someone else. He doesn't like me.
He's fucking Lisa.
Yeah. He's a fucking whore. And it doesn't help. They made plans like a date for later tonight. And he texted her saying that they had to cancel their date because he has something come up that he had to take care of. She's walking through town and she sees Smith getting into the car with his ex, Kara.
What the fuck?
Them driving off together. Later, she's at the bar that she works at and she's just drinking her worries away. She sees Smith walk in all happy as a clam and he walks up to Jamie saying, "Hey, darling, you okay?" And she's like, "Don't you darling me."
Yeah. How's Kara?
She lets him have it about how she opened up to him, admitting she was falling for him, and then he left her sitting there looking like a fool. And she should have known it was all just about the sex. He tries telling her it's not that at all. She needs to believe him, but she doesn't want to hear it, so she gets up with tears in her eyes and rushes away. Jamie's at the festival, the one where they were supposed to have their date tonight, and she's feeling all the feelings. She tells her sister everything that just happened with her and Smith, and Diane is like, "Maybe you should just take it easy on him. Like, maybe he had a really good reason." She's like, "Who are you and what have you done with my sister?" Before Jamie could really like respond and like saying like, "Wait, do you know something?" The cutest baby German Shepherd puppy comes up towards her and it looks so familiar. It's like the dog that she's been watching that's been on the waiting list that she wanted to adopt. There's a note on the dog's collar with Smith's handwriting that says Jamie on it.
Cute.
And on the inside, it says, "I'm falling for you too."
Yeah, because you should definitely get someone a puppy as a gift without discussing it with them first. A German Shepherd of all puppies?
That was like her dream dog. She looks up and she sees Smith standing there holding a new leather leash, smiling. He tells her, Kara knows all the dog shelters around and her sister was in the loop the whole time. She was the only one that didn't trust him and he did this to show her how much he cared for her and how committed he is to her. He's crazy for her.
He's crazy for her.
Also, her best friend Megan, who was supposed to move back, was never mentioned again in the story. I just had to throw that in there.
Bye, Megan.
They decided to name the dog Chance because he always told her to give him a chance. And boy, she's so glad she took a chance on him. The end.
Cute. So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I agree with 3.
Yeah.
It's cute. It was silly, cute.
Do you think Smith is sexy?
Not really, no. He sounds like a big goob.
Would you trade places with Jamie?
No, she sounds dumb as a box of rocks.
All right, so next week we're telling Riley all about Broken Beginnings by Cleo Evans, and we're gonna have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about. And Cleo Evans wrote Not So Kind Regards, which we covered a while back.
Oh, we did. I do remember that one.
Very polar opposite.
Yes.
It's got some cabins, some shrubbery. It looks like we're maybe on a farm, some birds, and it says like Broken Beginnings. Almost like it's like in a Western. I think, okay, all right. It's going to come to me. I think it's going to be female main character living in this small town, maybe with her pappy.
Right.
But she's living in this small town and this bad boy cowboy comes into town. He's on business, but he runs into this girl and he's like, his heartstrings are like pulling him towards her, her aura. She's calling to him. And so they have a budding relationship, but his business is calling and he has to get back to it. And she goes with him and they become one. The end.
Wow. That was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
Was I close?
No.
Shoot. No. I mean, kind of. There's a female main character.
Okay, thank you.
No pappies, though. No pappies.
Dang it. Dang it. Dang it.
Was there a pappy?
No. Her pappy's dead.
Oh, rest in peace, pappy.
Oh, pappy.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.